Insurance professionals work hard every day to keep people safe. But as technology transforms the industry, how can insurers protect not only their clients, but also shield themselves from ever-changing cyber risks? My name is Elizabeth Blossfield, and I'm the host of the Insuring Cyber Podcast, a bi-monthly look into how the world of cyber and the business of insurance are connected. We've had a lot of thought-provoking conversations with guests on this podcast so far about the intersection of the cyber and insurance industries. This week, I thought we should add even more depth. So on this episode, we're talking about the three-dimensional space, specifically 3D printing and scanning and how they're rounding out the claims industry. I spoke with Matterport, a 3D capture platform that uses 3D scanning technology for claims documentation and damage restoration. Its 3D walkthrough technology helps adjusters with damage assessment and claims handling, and its mobile capture product allows users to capture a space and create a model with documentation and accurate measurements, all using just their mobile phone. Kimberly Dumas, Global Director of Insurance at Matterport, spoke with me about how Matterport is aiming to make the claims process more efficient for insurance carriers, claims adjusters, restoration companies, and property owners, particularly during this pandemic. Here's our conversation. Hi, Kimberly. It's great to be speaking with you. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having us. Really excited to be here and speak with you today.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to speaking with you as well. So could you just start off, you know, talking about this new insurance trend that you're seeing with the use of 3D scanning and how it can assist with the claims process?
Sure. Well, the funny part is it's no secret that the insurance industry has been historically antiquated with technology. We are light years behind other industries. And when we had the pandemic and it first started, everybody kind of took a half step back. We kind of freaked out. We held our breath. We decided what was going to happen and insert new ways of doing business. Well, technology has kind of been around, especially 3D documentation has been around a little bit. People were more interested in opening their eyes and maybe exploring other opportunities within technology that didn't exist before. Carriers started taking a look at Matterport and other technologies. Yeah, and at that time when we had the pandemic, a lot of homeowners weren't letting people in. We were trying to scramble. Adjusters weren't allowed to get on planes. They weren't allowed to come inside. And homeowners were standing inside of the property going, which one's worse? Do I let somebody in? Or do I go to a hotel? Or do I just sit in water or sit in a smoke-filled house? And with the introduction of Matterport, it allowed people to feel like they were on site, to feel like they were inside the property. And it really did change the way of how people were handling claims throughout this process.
Yeah, you know, that's really interesting because I've heard a lot of talk, you know, during the pandemic about adjusters not always being able to get out on the ground. It might not be safe. So it's really interesting. Could you talk a little bit more about the benefits of using this technology to process claims?
Sure. So when we first started, you know, Matterport was really a 3D documentation tool. And because of the pandemic, it kind of springboarded us to become a little bit more of a solutions-based organization. So we kind of looked at what is it that carriers and adjusters and contractors really need during this time. And we started kind of coming up with a ton of different solutions. The first one was capture services. So if you can't get out there and capture yourself, then we would go out and capture for you. Picture like Uber for scanning. In addition to that, we started things like mobile capture, where you can use your mobile phone at any point, signing on to Matterport, and you can capture a space, a Matterport model with 3D documentation and relatively accurate measurements. And then we have our Pro 2. If we're using something like a Pro 2, you've got 99% measurement accuracy. So it really made it like you were in the field. In addition to that, part of what it is that we started exploring was a TruePlan. So we recently announced TruePlan, extremely excited about the technology and what it can do for the industry. And essentially it's an SKX file that you can upload into Exact with 99% measurement accuracy. And you never have to sketch the property. You never have to modify any part of the sketch. It's all done for you. So through TruePlan, we were able to show how we can save a ton of time inside the field and off the field by time on property, somewhere between 26 and 33 minutes, depending on the case study that you've done. We actually were very fortunate during this time to partner up with ATI, and they did a deep white paper study on Matterport as far as TruePlan goes, and definitely with the polar vortex that came into the industry. They were able to show that historically, if you're on site with pen and paper and a laser measuring tape, it would take, 21 minutes maybe to capture measurements for 373 square feet, or a tape measure, which would take 24 minutes. But with Matterport, it would take you 5 minutes and 7 seconds to measure a property. So less time in the field, faster claims turnaround time. We're getting reports from carriers now where they're saving and closing a file 25% faster because of Matterport, which, is unprecedented for the industry and turnaround times, and everybody's looking at different SLAs and such.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And it sounds like there are a ton of benefits. On the other hand, I was kind of curious as well, are there any challenges that technology like this could create for insurers, around risk of increased fraud or hacking or any other cyber risk that you're seeing?
So not from our side. Matterport has yet to experience any of that, thank goodness. So very happy. In addition to that, we've announced manual blur. So with our technology, you can go in and say you have PII on a counter somewhere, or maybe documents you don't want going out, or a magnet from your kid's school on the fridge, and you're kind of nervous about where that technology would go. We have PII, which is basically like a blur brush where you can come in and you can blur out any of that identifiable information from a claim standpoint. So regardless of who is getting eyes on that capture, you no longer have visibility into what that is. So as soon as you blur it, you can't go back to it, which is awesome. And quite frankly, with Matterport and kind of its growing list of clientele, we've been able to be screened by some fortunate, very important, very large global carriers and global partners with us, and it's never been a factor. So we've been very, very fortunate in that aspect.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And, you mentioned earlier that during the pandemic, the use of this 3D scanning technology has increased. Even after things, return to sort of a state of normal, do you expect the use of this technology to continue to become more widespread in the claims process?
Absolutely. I think it's important to understand not only the how, but the why of how Matterport is getting used in the industry. So the difference is it's not just a 3D scanning technology and we process the claim and we call it done, but a lot of it is understanding truly how the insurance industry and all of the industries that are under Matterport's belt right now are really coming together and collaborating on this documentation tool. So for example, Matterport has clients like RE/MAX, Redfin, Colliers, Keller Williams. And in almost every case, when they go to sell a property, they are utilizing Matterport's digital twin, so the 3D documentation tool of what Matterport is. Now, they go to sell the property with it. Now, picture that property, that digital twin, getting sent over to that carrier when they're writing the claim policy. And they're able to not only just see the exterior, which is historically how carriers are writing policies, but they're able to see the interior as well. So now I can see truly what kind of material is getting used, what that property's condition is. Is it just a stress crack or is it a foundation issue? And you can see all of those things within the Matterport. Now take that same Matterport model and now you can take it into maybe a real estate, a retail organization and see how your furniture fits in it with our measurement accuracy, or send that digital twin off to your architect or your designer and get a new idea of what that space would look like, slightly modified, by somebody else, or see historically how your properties evolved over time utilizing that Matterport scan.
Well, that's great. Yeah, it's been really interesting to talk with you and to learn about this technology. So thank you so much again for taking the time to speak with me.
No problem. Thank you so much for your time.
Now that we've talked about 3D scanning technology, we're going to discuss another technology that's shaking up the insurance claims process, 3D printing. It's been talked about for years that this technology could have positive implications for the insurance industry. It could speed up claims processes for policyholders by allowing them to repair or replace their own broken or failed auto or home equipment, or even by allowing carriers and vendors to connect to home 3D printers and generate repair parts for policyholders. However, like most things cyber and innovation related, it also comes with risks. These could include business interruption, cyber and intellectual property loss, and even litigation. I spoke with Ron Berg, Executive Director of Big Eye Agents Council for Technology, about all of this and more. Here's what he had to say. Hi, Ron. It's great to be speaking with you. How are you doing?
I am doing well, Elizabeth. Yourself?
I'm doing well, thanks. Yeah, thanks for taking the time to speak with me today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
So could you just start off talking a little bit about what 3D printing is and how it works?
Sure. So 3D printing as a wide category, it's been around for quite a while, since the early 80s. I actually worked for a higher-end manufacturing firm that had started using what was referred to as CAD, computer-aided design, in conjunction with kind of, at the time, a rudimentary 3D printer. It was an expensive process at the time, but still very effective. So 3D printing is also known as additive manufacturing, and it's a bunch of processes used to create a three-dimensional object, and you just add successive layers of material formed around this shape under the control of a computer program, right? So the objects that you create can be almost any shape or geometrical form, and they're produced from digital models, right? 3D models or other data sources, such as what's referred to as additive manufacturing files, AMF files, which is kind of a throwback to that old experience I had in the 80s around the beginning of 3D printing. So as I said, it's been around for a while, but certainly over the past 5-10 years has grown in leaps and bounds, as we've all seen.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And it's interesting because about 5 years ago, it seemed like 3D printing was sort of talked about a lot as this emerging technology that would have a significant impact on insurance and the claims process. Is that something that you've seen, or has it not quite had as wide of an impact yet as originally thought?
Interesting timing on that question. So within ACT, we have a future issues work group that published a 3D printing advisory around mid 2017. So that would be going on 5 years ago. And within that, basically the purpose of that 3D printing advisory was to share what was coming and versus, you know, what was in place at the time. And what the work group consensus was that it was going to create a number of positive impacts as well as challenges, opportunities within our insurance and claims processes, which would mean there'd need to be large changes in underwriting and actuarial disciplines. And as companies overall get more technical toward 3D printing, you'd need risk managers that understood that. So it would generate just-in-time repairs for auto and home and maybe even fleet. Claims processes would need to change. There'd be integrations between carriers and vendors that can connect to even home 3D printers to generate parts. And then there would be impacts across a bunch of disciplines, construction and engineering, automotive, aerospace, home, and even medical. So the bottom line is, to your question, have we seen a lot? The impact hasn't been quite as rapid as we thought it might be by most who initially weighed in, but there's been a lot of aspects that have absolutely moved forward. And to confirm this, you can actually get specific 3D printing insurance coverage now. So we know that there's been enough movement because there's a need for a policy. And that's due to a lot, really, of the tech exclusions, the technical and technology-specific exclusions that most standard commercial general liability policies carry. So right now, a standard CGL policy carries a lot of tech exclusions for things like 3D printing because of the losses that could be caused by software errors or defective products. So the movement is getting there. It looks like, it feels like, and some of the implementations are showing that we're starting to see that curve escalate now.
Yeah, that's great. And you mentioned that one of the benefits of this technology for the claims process is, you know, helping policyholders maybe repair or replace their own, you know, broken auto or home equipment, or even help, you know, carriers generate these parts for policyholders. Could you talk a little bit more about how that's a benefit for insurance and whether you expect this to become more widely used in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and now especially, Elizabeth, with the advancement of AI, artificial intelligence, that's taken place in the last even 3 years and made inroads into almost everything that we're doing from an automation standpoint. And then the related processes like machine learning and how that connects to the IoT, the possibility of those benefits are more imminent than ever. If you think of a real-time interconnected communication network and getting approvals and printing and installation of 3D parts and how that can really speed up like an automotive repair, that it is truly here. But, you know, there's a lot of risks as well, like questions around property damage or personal injury if a 3D part, printed part fails. So to mitigate this, we know that our insurance company partner underwriters need to figure out how to respond to these new professional indemnity, product recall, and product liability risks. So it's a balance, right? With the reduced manufacturing costs, there are liabilities issues that are generated. 3D printing can lead to a more efficient claims process as policyholders could potentially diagnose and repair their own equipment. And the use of a printer can automatically generate replacement 3D parts. So we've already seen videos of 3D printed structures being built. And we're seeing more reports that have come out just recently from AIG that by 2025, 3D printed buildings will be regularly used. And that means, on the bottom line, insurers need to provide suitable covers and risk assessments for those benefits for insurance that your question to me just asked about. There's so many applications, buildings, parts, just-in-time fulfillment on needed repairs, whether it be personal auto or more commercial. So definitely there is a benefit for insurance, and it's going to become, is becoming more widely used.
Yeah, sure. And we've talked a lot so far about the benefits, and you touched on the challenges a little bit in your last answer. You know, one challenge that I've heard with 3D printing is that it can create some cyber and intellectual property exposures, especially around stolen or lost data. So I was just curious, you know, what do insurers looking at 3D printing as an emerging risk need to know about the cyber concerns that are associated with it?
That's a really interesting question. And if you have a cyber bent, if cyber interests you at all, there's myriad implications here, Elizabeth. So yes, the bottom line is we are hearing more and more concerns in this area. And it's not just about hackers stealing 3D designs, which you might think of in terms of a Bond movie or other action drama crime show. It's the fact that cybersecurity vulnerabilities can lead to potentially dangerous and even mostly undetectable defects, as well as opening the door for counterfeit products. So there's a myriad of implications here, Elizabeth. And the problem is that it's not just stolen data. It's that a part, for example, is being created and used as part of a larger system. So 3D printers, we found, can be hacked if not secured and hardened. So imagine if you're driving a car at highway speed and a part failed because of a tiny defect was introduced on purpose that was almost untraceable. So there are a myriad of preventative and risk and replacement issues that come into play there. So across the industry, there are so many potential benefits introduced through 3D printing, but specifically from an insurer standpoint, which is what you asked about, there are definite concerns as the risks continue to evolve. For the overall detection and replacement system to be stable, all the parties in the supply chain have to work together to identify all the possible key risk categories of 3D printing and then minimize those exposures. So it's not just our carrier partners, though they would certainly be a key in that. But the insurance companies need to invest in trained underwriting and actuarial staff that can understand the processes and policies that are created for personal and commercial 3D printed products and components that have to meet the same rigorous testing requirements as traditionally manufactured products.
Yeah, that's a really great point. And, you know, you mentioned earlier in the conversation as well that as 3D printing becomes more widely used, insurers will need to provide coverage and risk assessments, and it'll sort of push brokers to figure out how to respond to some of these new risks. So do you have anything else to add about the questions that agents and brokers should be asking about 3D printing risks and how they can sort of advise their clients on safety and insurance coverage?
Yes. So with an act, we've been discussing a lot of this in terms of the significant pressure on in companies. But yes, the agents and brokers do need to recognize that there's a lot on their shoulders. There's a lot evolving along with everything else that they've got going on, understanding cyber, the regulatory environment around that, all of their sales, all of the technology upgrades they've got going on, staff, the million things that agents have. This introduces a little bit more in the requirement to really understand what 3D printing is, how it's evolving. So they need to understand not just the core concepts around 3D printing, but they need to ensure that their staff or a staff representative is aware of the basic 3D printing concepts and applications out there. And there are resources. ACT provides resources. A lot of their carriers are very focused in providing resources. They need to understand their customer base. They need to understand from a personal line standpoint, from a commercial line standpoint, and understand where those impacts could be happening, because some of those customers are engaging in 3D printing use for part creation or part replacement. And they need to understand the market, those policies that we were talking about earlier. Where are the coverages and where are the gaps? Again, partner with your insurance companies. Ask them, press them. Where are the coverages applicable? Where are their specific policies available? And then understand, again, going back higher level, those areas of implications across the industries that they're working with: construction, engineering, automotive, aerospace, home and personal use, and medical. I know that's a lot, and there's a lot on the agent and broker shoulders, but there are resources.
Yeah, sure. And that's great advice. And this has been a really interesting conversation. So thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me.
My pleasure.
That's it for this episode. Thanks to Kimberly and Ron for taking the time to speak with me. And thanks to all of you for listening. Once again, my name's Elizabeth Blossfield, and I'm the host of the Insuring Cyber Podcast, a bi-monthly look into how the world of cyber and the business of insurance are connected. Be sure to check back every other Wednesday for new episodes. Talk to you next time.